This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. About a year ago, I heard of this thing called Maryland marketing meetings, and about 3 months ago, I told myself I was finally going to get my rear end out of the office and head over. It's all of 20. They hosted an event about 20 minutes from my house. So 2 months ago, I actually met, and I met my guest today, Bill Howard, who is the president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates. Bill, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you very much for having me on the show today, and thank you also for attending the last Maryland marketing meeting.
Last two. I'm a two-timer now. So, and if you go to the July meeting, it's the Hawaiian shirt meeting. These are informal. We'll get to Maryland marketing meetings in a couple of minutes, but I want to start off, Bill, with your background. Chesapeake Cyber Associates is only a year old, but let's go back to the beginning of Bill's career here. So, what got you into the government market?
U.S. Navy.
That'll do it.
Enlisted when I was just a young man, and enjoyed it for 22 years, following a Navy career. And by the way, I went into the Navy under what they called the Seaman to Admiral program. After 22 years, I still wasn't an admiral.
What?
And to this day, I still don't understand that. But in any case, make a long story short.
You get to the top of the heap.
You would think. But it didn't happen. But life goes on, and that's the beauty of it. From the U.S. Navy, I joined a large company, Northrop, and this was before they were Northrop Grumman, and did some work for them in a lab. It was very interesting work, exposed me to industry, working with the federal government, exposed me to the process for getting contracts to do that kind of work. It exposed me to the security issues that you have to deal with when you're working with some of the national agencies. And it exposed me to something that's come near and dear to my heart over the years, and that is the process of developing business with federal agencies, particularly for me at least, those at Fort Meade.
Okay. So 22 years in the Navy, you were a technical type person.
Yes.
Did you learn anything there about at least the flip side of doing business with the government, how contractors should approach you, anything like that?
Well, I did in the sense that I spent most of my time in well-equipped laboratories, whether they were on land or at sea. And the equipment that was used in those labs was very specialized equipment, built to very high standards, and I thought incredible from the application of technology, and I grew to appreciate the ability of the companies that were making these pieces of equipment for a federal lab in the Navy, their understanding of the needs. And that became crucial to understanding the process of business development. It was understanding the needs of what the government really needs to do their job. And aside from that, the personal relationships, which I didn't get into when I was in the Navy, but I did certainly get into that after I left the Navy.
Okay. From Grumman to small company?
Well, I never was part of Grumman. It was just Northrop at the time.
Sorry.
Went to a small company in Beltsville, Maryland called Ideas. And the idea was to grow ideas and make them attractive for sale. So we had to ramp up sales during basically a flat federal market. We did that. We moved the company closer to the customer to a building in Columbia, purchased by SAIC, and that is now SAIC in Columbia, Maryland. I believe they're probably about 800 people strong.
They have a big building.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. I drive by it occasionally. All right, so did you stay there after IDEA was bought?
I stayed there for a year.
Okay.
And then moved to a phone company that at the time was known as GTE. Now, the part of GTE that I became part of was GTE Government Systems. General Dynamics bought all of GTE Government Systems, and I became then part of General Dynamics Advanced Information Systems. Another excellent company. When I joined them, we were in half of a one-story building in Columbia, Maryland, and we grew that over the ensuing years into a four-story building and some other buildings in addition over in the National Business Park near the junction of Route 32 and Route 100.
Yeah, Annapolis Junction.
Annapolis Junction,
yep.
Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I know the area well, just shy of our friends at the fort. All right, so we're this far in your career. What exactly do you do now?
Right now, Mark, I help companies win business at a large federal agency on Fort Meade, Maryland. And that's what I've grown to love doing over the years.
Okay.
Essentially helping them figure out what it is that they want to do, what opportunities are available for them to go after, how they can best position themselves in the marketplace to make themselves attractive for those types of opportunities, and then how to put together the necessary teaming arrangements so they can capture the domain experience necessary to complete the win, do a good proposal, and go ahead and win the contract.
Okay. May I assume from the name of the company, Chesapeake Cyber Associates, that you're involved in the cybersecurity side of things, or is it broader than that?
It's broader than that. Actually, the cyber side is more of a pro bono effort on my part, helping various types of organizations, typically nonprofits, and some that are near and dear to my heart, like the Coast Guard, for example. In the case of the Coast Guard, I have done a pro bono database, online database for them to help develop an online listing of abandoned vessels in the Chesapeake Bay.
Oh,
and
cool.
What that does is offer them the option of when they get a call for a SAR effort because someone has called in a sailboat on its side in the Magathy River.
Mm-hmm. Explain SAR effort, please.
SAR, search and rescue.
Mm-hmm.
They can look at the database and say, well, you know, that sailboat has been there for 6 months. There's nobody on it. It's not a danger to anyone. And we probably don't have to spend the $10,000 to $20,000 to send out a search and rescue effort. Now, that's certainly their option, but the database at least makes them aware of abandoned vessels, and there are hundreds of them throughout the Chesapeake Bay that are there. They're not threatening the environment. They're not threatening traffic channels within the Chesapeake. But there are certainly times when people come across them, they hadn't noticed them before. They call the Coast Guard and say, hey, I've got a vessel that's sinking or partially sunk or on its side. Help. You know, we need some help right away. The Coast Guard can go into the database, say, well, you know, the boat you just described, the name of the boat, the color of the boat, the location of the boat, all match what we have in our database, and it's been there for 6 months. And it's not a problem. Thank you very much for your call.
No warm bodies attached. So, All right. My guest today is Bill Howard, who is the president of Cybersecurity Associates. You can find them at www.ccassoc.com. ccassoc.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about doing business development in the arena of Central Maryland, and probably a little more about something called Maryland Marketing Meetings. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, July 6th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will discuss progress made in healthcare IT, the Nationwide Health Information Exchange, and the Nationwide Health Information Network. The panel includes government leaders from HHS, VA, MHS, and SSA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, July 6th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by CA Technologies and McAfee.
Whoever said that you must only talk about politics or your brand of religion to have a great life? Whoever said that you should only have one interest? Explore different people and different perspectives. That's right, get out of the box. I'm Coach Lynn. Listen, no spin, no shock. I'm bringing a little flavor.
Listen for the Lynn Johnson Motivational Radio Show Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 12 noon on 1500 and 820 a.m.
Pancreatic cancer and lots of drinking. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Maurice Scott with HHS HealthBeat. A study indicates heavy alcohol use can raise the risk of pancreatic cancer. Researchers looked at data on 532 men with pancreatic cancer and more than 1,700 without the disease. At UT Southwest Medical Center in Dallas, Samir Gupta says men who drank more had a higher risk, up to six times for those who had the most alcohol, compared with men who had one drink a month or less. And binge drinkers had a 3.5 times higher risk than non-binge drinkers. Dr. Gupta says the study suggests a possible way to head off the disease.
Our findings may be considered an additional health reason why people should avoid heavy alcohol consumption.
The study in the journal, Cancer Causes and Control, was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Maurice Scott.
Profile America, Monday, July 5th. This is a key week in postal history. The first stamps issued by the U.S. Post Office went on sale in 1847. A 5-cent stamp pictured Benjamin Franklin, while one costing 10 cents honored George Washington. Before then, there were no uniform stamps. A haphazard system of private postal services around the country had issued their own. And in 1963, the Postal Service introduced the 5-digit zip code to help speed mail to the proper destination. That year, Americans sent nearly 68 billion pieces of mail. Today, the Postal Service handles nearly 208 billion pieces of mail annually, which works out to about 2 items for each person in the country every day. Profile America is in its 14th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune in to In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Bill Howard, president of Cybersecurity Associates and renowned in certain communities for something called Maryland Marketing Meetings. All right, Bill, let's get into the meeting.
Mark, the Maryland marketing meetings have been going on now for over 20 years. And they began as a small group of business developers, myself included, who would get together for a lunch every couple weeks or every month, and we'd talk about how we were doing on business development, the problems we were running into, some of the issues, and see if we couldn't resolve them between ourselves. And that was a very important lesson for me in doing business with federal agencies. One is that your competitors are not always competing against you. Turns out that in order to do business development, business developers typically need a list of items that they can share amongst each other without doing harm to each other. Matter of fact, it can actually be beneficial from the standpoint of improving teaming, from the standpoint of improving the competition.
Well, it's definitely a community effort.
I'd like to caution, though, I'm certainly not advocating anything that has to do with collusion or price fixing or other issues that would be labeled as illegal.
Right.
What I'm talking about is sharing unclassified, non-proprietary, non-competition-sensitive data.
Okay. Now, 20-some-odd years ago, where does this put you in your immediate post-Navy career?
Northrop.
Okay, but I mean, how soon after Navy did you start attending these meetings?
I think it was probably about a year and a half.
Okay.
So we're talking mid-1980s.
Okay, so you're relative close time frame anyhow.
Right.
Okay. So when you were in the Navy, when you were working, say, in Central Maryland somewhere for the Navy, you would not have attended these types of functions.
Typically not. Didn't know about them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really that familiar with the infrastructure, the industry infrastructure for business development at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're talking somewhere 85, 86, 87, Maryland marketing meetings starts having these little lunches. Where were the first ones?
Typically, we would have them in a little hole-in-the-wall deli in Linthicum, Maryland.
I like hole-in-the-wall delis.
Hole-in-the-wall
is it
delis
still there?
Are great places. No, unfortunately, the place isn't still there. Right now, we have an excellent venue, though. We meet at the Elkridge Furnace Inn in Elkridge, Maryland.
You do indeed. And I when I saw where it was, I knew where it was because my wife and I like going there.
Well, and
when Mary Ellen heard I was going there, she said, well, I want to come too.
It fit very well with the theme I was trying to establish. Now, the small group of business developers that started have not always stayed together philosophically. For example, we had a couple people in the group who decided they wanted to branch off and have meetings with a few selected individuals that they would invite.
And that would select, okay.
Hand-selected, yeah. And it would be to enhance information exchange. And that was fine, but that's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to set up a meeting that was inclusive, to include not only people that are already doing business with the agencies, but ones that are interested in doing business with the agencies, and ones that had rather diverse capabilities. Turns out that there are a lot of companies that fit that mold, and the Maryland marketing meetings have grown as a result, and we're typically having 90 to 100 people at each of the monthly luncheons. Now, you mentioned Elkridge Furnace Inn, as you and your wife like it. I like it for another reason. Typically, when I've gone to restaurants and said, I have 100 people that want to come to lunch with me, they say, well, okay, the room is going to cost you so much. And, you know, if you're off by so many people, we're going to charge you by the head. Well, Elkridge Furnace did it a little differently. They said, we'll collect the money from the people at the door ourselves. You don't have to worry about that. You try and get us within about 10 to 15% of participation. And most of the time I can do that. And the times that I haven't been able to do that, they've been very understanding. They put out an excellent meal. It's a buffet-style meal for that large crowd. And the other thing...
And there's four lines. There's two ends to the table, two sides to the table. So it doesn't take that long to get fed.
I also like to have an efficient meeting where we get out of there before 1 p.m. So we may start a little later than 11:30 because sometimes it takes people a little time to park and to walk over. So we may start at 11:45 or so, but we finish by 1 typically. We have a lot of industry. It's representative of large and small businesses. Amongst the smalls, you'll find the service disadvantage, the 8As, the women-owned. So there's a wide degree of representation at the meetings. There's also occasionally some government guests. We've been very fortunate to have some of the people from the industry outreach organization of a national agency at Fort Meade that are there to help us better understand their needs.
At my first meeting, there was one such person.
And also to help us with any rumors that may have come up that could influence how business is done. Mm-hmm. And they can either set them to rest or take the question and try and provide an answer later on.
Okay, to clarify here, this is a networking function. This is not an educational function, except right. as you're sitting at a table with a bunch of people or in the open networking, both the beginning and the end. So there's no speaker, but everybody gets to speak.
Everybody gets the microphone. And one of the things that you've pointed out, Mark, and whenever I pick up your book, I'm constantly reminded that doing business with the federal government is all about personal relationships. And it's not personal relationships just with people in the federal government. It's relationships with the companies that do business with the federal government as well. And that's an important factor.
Yeah, it is. And my guest last week, oddly enough, Todd Lamoni, is somebody I met at the last Maryland marketing meeting. And his company is IntelliFed, and they're a year old. Four very experienced guys got together to start this business. So I'm going to be tracking them to see how they do. I did suggest that he get in touch with you the next time he goes. Sit down and have a few minutes with you there to better understand that particular landscape. So be prepared. He will be in touch. My guest is Bill Howard, president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates, LLC. You can find him at ccassoc.com. He is also the organizer and chief whatever at the Maryland marketing
the
meetings.
Host.
The host. There you go. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, parents, introducing the Communicizer. Go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
I love you, Dad.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good news for the uninsured and the insured. U.S. Healthy People 2020 Network is now offering annual health physical to the public. Members receive comprehensive health assessments for hypertension, thyroid, kidney, osteoporosis, diabetes, cholesterol, heart screening, and more till the year 2020. Find out your risks for heart attack or stroke. Take the extra step you and your family need to stay healthy till 2020 and beyond. Call 301-386-2223 or visit ushealthypeople2020.org for details. Sponsored by Prevent First, a nonprofit health organization.
From this week on Agency of the Month, brought to you by Panasonic Solutions Company.
Tony Placido is Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. He played a crucial role in getting the DEA back into the intelligence community.
In the wake of 9/11 and the terrorist attacks on the United States, we believed and continue to believe the DEA has something to offer. Even though we remain focused on drug trafficking, we frequently find ourselves gathering information that has significance to the national security.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Now's a great time to purchase the most reliable mobile computer in the industry. Make your budget dollars count with Panasonic ToughBook rugged and reliable mobile computers that won't let you down. Built with extreme quality control in Panasonic's factory, ToughBook computers consistently achieve industry-leading uptime. Simply put, they keep working. Panasonic ToughBook computers meet all your needs wherever your job takes you. Call 1-877-52-RUGGED for details.
Here's Dennis Tolliver, Blade Specialist Hewlett-Packard, on how to jumpstart your desktop virtualization initiative, sponsored by GTSI, Citrix, Microsoft, and HP.
So on the desktop virtualization, if you go to a thin client, it's very much like a PC, but no moving fans, no hard drives. That consumes a lot less power. And because whenever you use less power, you give off less heat, it's good for the bottom line of the company. It consumes less power. You don't pay for that power.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking to cut your data center cost while maintaining your level of service? With a virtualization solution from GTSI, your IT becomes more efficient. Application deployment is accelerated. Services are more predictable. And upfront planning results in increased long-term savings. GTSI. One mission. Yours. For more information, visit GTSI.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Bill Howard, the host of Maryland Marketing Meetings and the president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates. Bill, let's go back to the meetings for a few minutes. When I first heard that this was something that occurred at the Elkridge Furnace Inn, I've been there several times previously, which is why Mary Ellen likes it so much. It's a wonderful venue, but the rooms there are relatively small. It's an old kind of inn, and the biggest dining room holds maybe seven or eight tables. And I'm hearing, you know, this Maryland marketing meeting thing has over 100 people at some meetings, and I'm thinking, you know, what do? Put a microphone in one room and speakers in all the others? So,
Mark, the way that works, and it's an interesting story. The Elkridge Furnace Inn is an old tavern that was built back in the 1700s. And it survives to this day through the efforts of Dan Wecker, the owner and executive chef. But they live...
Darn good chef, too.
He is. Very, very good. That particular facility is in the floodplain, the 100-year floodplain, so they could not expand the building. What they've done instead is put up a large steel frame tent. And they use that tent for wedding receptions, for the Maryland marketing meetings, for other large events, because we can hold about 150 people in the tent. Before we had that many people coming, we used to use the inside rooms. And the largest number they could accommodate at that time was 45 people.
Yeah, it would have
inside.
Been my outer guess.
Yeah. Now, the good part is that the tent is heated in the winter. They take it down in February, so we don't have a February meeting, but we do meet the third Wednesday of every other month other than February.
Where am I going to have lunch
and
the third
have
Wednesday of February?
There you go.
All right. So, but the structure is also pretty cool because let's go back to the introductions. You know, when you have 100 people there and you say you get them out by one, we know that some people tend to be a little slow or a little wordy. But you control that pretty well.
I try to work with people. I want them to be able to get their basic message out. What I do is offer for them to introduce themselves by name, the company they work for, but I ask them not to stand on a soapbox and tell us all about the company. Instead, I offer to let them put literature out at the tables, or we have a separate table where they can bring literature. I've had yourself in to sell your books, and mm-hmm. I think that went over very well.
Greatly appreciated, yeah.
I'm having Frederick come in to do an exhibit at our next meeting in July.
On, the video man.
Yeah, the video yeah. man. So there is an opportunity there, not only to network, as you pointed out, and that's what that meeting is all about. It's meeting people who are interested in the same business areas that you're interested in to see if you should team with them, to see if you can learn from each other, and to grow your experiences and contacts to help you do more business with the federal government.
Okay. And you know, that's the key to having you here, because Number one, you seem like a natural networker. You seem like anywhere you'd go, you'd have a pretty good time and introduce yourself to anything that breathes.
I very much enjoy having a good time, but I don't do it all by myself. There are a number of other people who have been doing this with me for years. Bruce Jenkins, for example, mm-hmm. who is the president of Windsor Visions, does our opportunity spreadsheet. And this is a spreadsheet that's available to all the members, showing opportunities that are coming up.
Oh, we haven't mentioned the website.
Yes, that's mdmktg.org.
mdmktg.org. It'll be on the website.
Right. We have Steve Hornstein from Chiron, who puts together our membership list, and that's over 700 people now. We have a online registration page, and the difference between the membership list and the registration page is membership list is how you keep your most recent contact information up to date. The registration page is so that you can go in and click on a little box that says, I will attend the next meeting, and then I can go to the restaurant and say, I expect these many people to show up. Now, maybe on or off, but most people do that. You can also pay for the lunches online through the website and avoid the line. So that helps as well.
I try to get there early.
Right. We also have a spreadsheet available on the website called Compensation that's provided by Vicki Devon, who's the president of Strategic Resource Group in Columbia, Maryland. And she provides the categories, the various skill levels that are typically required by our federal customer, along with salaries that these people have been offered and paid within the last 2 years. And she does a very good job of keeping that up to date.
This could help you a little bit on your bid and proposal side of things.
Well, the thing is, all the business developers that I've talked to, myself included, we all need certain things to provide to our company's management. And they're very similar in nature. We need to know, for example, how to stay in the competitive range. We need to know what the competition looks like, what other companies out there are going after the things that we're interested in going after. And do we team with them? Do we prime? Do we sub? What is going to be our strategic approach to doing that kind of business? And the opportunities charts help in that. The registration and membership pages help in that because you can get on the list of opportunities. Now, there are a lot of things you won't find. For example, an explanation of the opportunity. They may have funny names associated with them. And because of the sensitivities involved, typically I can't get into that in the public domain.
Right. But, we don't need to.
But the individual companies or the consultants like myself that support business developers in that community can then help explain what those programs are and help the companies better understand whether it's within their range of opportunities, whether they have the capability to go after that type of opportunity.
Cool. The reason we're really talking about Maryland marketing meetings is the relationship factor. But in Maryland, you know, there's a ton of stuff that goes on in Virginia all the time, and there's not a lot that goes on with Maryland. I attend the BBI meetings for Howard County, the BRAC mm-hmm. Base Initiative meetings, which is almost exclusively focused on the same venue, Fort Meade. I attend occasionally the ones, the ASBC meetings up in Frederick, associated with our other friends up there.
Mm-hmm. There are other social and professional organizations like the Armed Forces Communications Electronics Association,
FCA. Central Maryland.
Central Maryland chapter is the third largest chapter in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Where do they meet?
They typically have their lunch meetings it's in Greenbelt. And I'm trying to think of the venue, the restaurant. It's a large conference facility. And the name escapes me right now.
Okay.
But you can look them up on their website, which is FCSCMD or AFCEACMD.org. And you'll see a listing of their luncheons that are okay. coming up. Now, their luncheons, they'll typically have 500 or more people there. And with
But they have a speaker.
They have a speaker, usually a government speaker. They also offer a small business the opportunity to speak for 5 minutes in front of the assembled group. And the assembled group is growing. I mean, 500 is a normal number. With BRAC, I think when DISA moving into the area, you're going to have an increased number of participants at that meeting as well.
Yeah, one probably pick up at Maryland marketing meetings too. Probably cap out the tent, so I'll have to actually register online rather than simply showing up. So
you're welcome anytime, Mark. By the way, I understand you have an event coming up at the Maritime facility.
November 9th, the Selling Products to the Government, my 7th annual summit. And this purely a product play.
And how do people sign up for that?
They can go to federaldirect.net and look at the big yellow star in the middle of the page and click on it. thank you. I forget to plug my own stuff.
Mark, that's what I do.
We'll get there. Well, believe me, I'll plug it at the meeting, so at your meetings. Maryland marketing meetings, third Wednesday of every month except February, Elkridge Furnace Inn, Elkridge, ELKRIDGE. It's about 5 minutes from BWI. It's about 5 minutes off 95. It's right off Route 1. It is actually pretty convenient to get to, even though you may never have heard of it. And if you haven't heard of it and you go, the buffet that we have is not indicative of the food that you receive there when you go there for an evening meal. It's good, but the stuff you get in the evening is great. So, not to give them a plug or anything, but I really do like it.
I might just mention as an aside, they have a very nice and complete wine cellar as well.
I quit drinking 26 years ago, so that doesn't help me anymore.
Well, that's more for me.
So there you go. My guest today is Bill Howard. He is the president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates, and he is also the host of Maryland Marketing Meetings. When we come back, we're going to be talking about business development, relationships, and anything else we want to. My Mark Amtower, you're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
In this unpredictable economy, how much money have you lost? Join me, Carl Balestrieri, each week as we tackle the tough situations you've encountered and offer solutions for protecting your money and weathering this storm. In some of my future shows, we will be exploring the truth about investing, some of the things that your broker and financial planners may not be telling you. Join me, Carl Balestrieri, on Federal News Radio, Saturday morning at 10:30 for Right on the Money.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then, click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Is there a heroine in technology in your company or branch of government? If so, the Mart of Dimes would like you to nominate her for the 10th Annual Heroines in Technology Awards. Heroines in Technology recognizes women who exemplify outstanding volunteer service to our community. Nominees will be considered from all segments of the tech industry. To nominate a heroine, please visit marchofdimes.com/metro DC or call 703-824-0111, extension 21. The nomination deadline is August 1st.
What's the buzz in the federal community? Chris Dorbeck knows it. Join Chris for his new show, The Dorbeck Insider, weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio AM. Chris has the insights on who's coming and who's going, new memos, new contracts, fun and helpful ways for federal managers to improve agency productivity while meeting mission goals. The Dorbeck Insider, building federal community by connecting people. Weekday afternoons on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Wild Bill Howard, who is the host of, you like that? Yeah, he's the host of Maryland Marketing Meetings and the president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates. He makes his living from Chesapeake Cyber. Maryland Marketing Meetings is all volunteer.
It's all volunteer, and there's no membership.
No dues?
No dues. There's no organization. There's no president or vice president who has to give a long speech. It's all about the people who attend the meetings.
It really is. It's very cool. No structure. Bring your brochures. There's a literature table. We can always throw, or Bill can always throw up a couple more if necessary. And, you know, it's just absolutely wonderful networking. Let's talk a bit about the business climate in Central Maryland. BRAC obviously is changing the entire Central Maryland infrastructure business-wise.
I think there are a number of things happening in Central Maryland that are going to impact the future. One of them is certainly BRAC and bringing the DISA organization to the Fort Meade area. They're certainly being welcomed with open arms, and we recognize that it's going to open business opportunities as well. So we look forward to that, and we look forward to integrating the companies that are currently doing business with them into our professional and social networks, FCIA, Maryland Marketing, other technical organizations that exist. Along with that, many of you may have heard the word cyber. It's been used an awful lot lately. Matter of fact, it's used in my company name, thanks to my wife who came up with that name. And it has many meanings, not all of which are clearly defined. But it in no way abrogates or replaces the work that is currently done by the main federal agency at Fort Meade. That's part of what they do, and it's part of what the Cyber Command is set up to do, and that's all well and good. But there is a lot of work available in many different venues, and requiring a broad range of skills that some people just find hard to believe. For example, fencing. Well, they buy fencing. They buy guard dogs.
So we're not talking eppies. We're talking the things with poles that stick out of ground to
exactly.
Keep people out. Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, you drive around the fort, and there's just a bit of that stuff.
Chain link fence is something that they're very proud of because they use so much of it.
They shine it. Maybe I'd get a job shining their fence.
There you go. Painting it.
There you go.
But in any case, one thing that I would like to touch on is that in my experience, you find different federal agencies have different cultures. And I've focused on Central Maryland, Fort Meade in particular, because it's a culture that I identify with, that I appreciate. I like the people who are in the federal domain, and I like what they represent. I very much appreciate their mission and their hard work, and I also appreciate the companies that do business with them to try and help them accomplish their mission.
Yeah, what a lot of people on the outside of this don't understand is that it really is a community effort. The vendors working with the government to provide the services necessary. All they see on the outside or all they hear on the outside are the occasional warts that show up or the insider nature of the business. Well, heck, any business is insider.
Yeah. We have amongst the business development community some recovering attorneys. And they have clearly admitted that some of the issues that arise in doing business with the federal government may be based, possibly, could be based on issues that have come up previously with a very small number of representatives, not representative of the entire community, but nonetheless, procedures, processes, rules are put in place that cause you to do business differently than you would have otherwise. I think one issue that's come to the forefront rather dramatically is the issue of organizational conflict of interest. And that's one that is being dealt with in different ways. You have some federal agencies that are taking a very hard stance on organizational conflict of interest and what that means. And basically what it means is that the agencies who are taking a hard stance don't want companies that are helping them develop their requests for proposals doing the work that is in response to those proposals. Well, sometimes when you have a very large company, the process has been to separate those parts of the company that do the assistance to the government, the system engineering technical assistance, you could call it, the development of the requests and the requirements, may be firewalled from other parts of the company that are doing the development work. And that usually entailed putting together an organizational conflict of interest mitigation plan, which would then be reviewed and accepted or modified by the government agency. The harder stance is, well, you can't be part of the same company. So this is causing a number of large companies to divest the parts of their company that previously have done this system engineering technical assistance work. And I think you've seen that happening in a number of large companies. It'll probably continue to happen. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's not for me to decide.
Well, it's a somewhat recurrent thing. It's not the first time it's reared its head.
Right. Other issues. Federal agencies that require people with security clearances. Issues have arisen about the difficulty in finding the talented people who also happen to be eligible for or already have the necessary security clearances. This is an issue that's pretty much industry-wide. And I've been pleasantly surprised. One of my clients in particular, a company headquartered in Millersville, Maryland, called Tech USA Government Systems, has solved that problem. They used to be a staffing company. They changed their strategic approach to become a service company. But they've maintained the recruiters and the fallback to the original staffing company mode of operation. And they can find the people and bring them in at rates that I find incredibly reasonable.
You know, the responding to the emerging needs of a community like that is the only way some smaller companies can survive right now.
I love finding companies that have taken on some of the serious issues like cleared people, OCI, and have come up with solutions. And positive solutions that means that they don't have to go crying to a potential customer about how tough it is to do business with them. I've never looked at that as a winning solution. But I do look at a positive approach of how can we solve this particular issue and get past it as a winning solution and one that's going to stand very well in the eyes of the customers who look to do business with that company.
Bill, it's been great. Thank you very much for coming in. I know it's a bit of a drive from Pasadena to downtown D.C., but here we are.
As they would say on Twitter, OMG, driving to Washington, D.C.
Indeed. Again, my guest has been Bill Howard. He's the president of Chesapeake Cyber Associates and the host of Maryland Marketing Meetings. You can find Chesapeake Cyber at ccassoc.com. You can find Maryland Marketing Meetings at mdmktg.org. And we mentioned the AFSCA Central Maryland, too, and that's AFSCACMD.org. All of these are just tremendous venues to do your business networking at. Bill, again, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
This is not my day job. If you need some of the most experienced marketing advice in the government market, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with Amtower.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
The valuable information you get on the radio waves transmitted by Federal News Radio may one day provide an added benefit, power for some of your electrical devices. We're bathed in communication signals from radio, TV, and cell phones. Josh Smith, an Intel engineer, says we can tap those airwaves for energy.
The lowest power devices nowadays consume such a small amount of energy that you can actually power them off these signals that used to seem like they only had information.
Engineers are tuning antennas to pull in stray radio waves that are then converted into electricity.
It's starting to become possible to get rid of batteries from the lowest end devices.
Smith has already demonstrated it works to power a kitchen thermometer and has other applications like clocks and mobile phones in mind. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
WFE.